Lesson 3. Acts chapter 3, viewed from the perspective of the gospel of the water and the Spirit. Acts chapter 3 is not merely for the purpose of testing the power of the Holy Spirit, but it shows how the already completed gospel of the water and the Spirit is applied and testified within the actual life of a human being and the history of Israel. This chapter 3 became a scene showing whether the word of the gospel of the water and the Spirit, which caused sin and curse to end, saved a sinner from helplessness. Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. The man lame from birth. The human spiritual state revealed before healing. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him, with John, Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 10, shows the fundamental spiritual state of humans revealed before healing, through the man who could not walk from birth. The person in front of the beautiful gate could not walk from birth, and although he sat in front of the temple gate, he was one who sought only silver and gold from people. This showed that although the temple was near, he could not enter into the bosom of God because of sin, and although there were religious acts, he was in a state of not having been delivered from sin. Acts chapter 3, verse 6. "Silver and gold I do not have." Shows that the gospel of the water and the Spirit became the solution that solves the realistic problem of sin. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." In Acts chapter 3, verse 6, Peter proclaims, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." What the apostles delivered was not simple charity, consolation, or religious encouragement, but the work of delivering the Lord who received baptism from John to have the sins of the world passed on to him and was crucified on the cross to save us from the judgment of sin. Acts chapter 3, verses 11 through 16. The source of power. It was power obtained not by the apostles' godliness, but by the name of Jesus Christ. Now, as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why look so intently at us, as though by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the Just, and asked for a murderer to be granted to you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. In Acts chapter 3, verses 11 through 16, Peter makes it clear that the source of this miracle is not the apostle's individual power or life of godliness. He asks, "As though by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk," and testifies that the basis of the miracle lies solely in the name of that Jesus whom you crucified. The cross mentioned here is the salvation, where Jesus received the transfer of the sins of the world through the baptism he received from John and accomplished the judgment of sin on the cross. And Peter testified by binding this entire salvation event into one. Acts chapter 3, verses 17 through 18. Sins committed in ignorance and the fulfillment of God's plan. "Yet now, brethren, I know that you did it in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But those things which God foretold by the mouth of all his prophets, that the Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled." In Acts chapter 3, verses 17 through 18, Peter says that although Israel did so because they did not know, Jesus Christ accomplished at once the salvation of mankind that God had spoken of beforehand. This shows that human ignorance could not block God's ministry of salvation, and it is saying that God the Father's plan accomplished the salvation of mankind without an inch of error within the power of Jesus, who received the baptism from John and received the judgment of sin on the cross and resurrected from death. Acts chapter 3, verse 19. "Repent therefore and be converted." A conversion of faith, not emotional wailing. "Repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." In Acts chapter 3, verse 19, Peter exhorts, "Repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out." Here, repentance is not emotional wailing, shedding tears, or repetitive confession of sins. This means it is comprised of a confession of faith, turning from the thought that we are still sinners, to the belief that our sins have already been dealt with, because Jesus received the transfer of the sins of the world through the ministry of receiving baptism from John and received the punishment of sin on the cross. Also, receiving the blotting out of sins is not something one makes by striving with prayers of repentance from now on, but it means that Jesus has already saved sinners from sin through the baptism he received from John and the blood of the cross. Acts chapter 3, verses 20 through 21. Rest coming through the true gospel that reconciles us with the Lord. "And that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began." Acts chapter 3, verses 20 through 21 mentions the times of restoration of all things. This restoration says that through the providence of salvation, prepared from before the foundation of the world, he allowed the word of the gospel of true blotting out of sins. The restoration of faith that believes in such a word of the gospel means the true rest and salvation enjoyed by those whose atonement has ended. Jesus is the one testifying to the word of the gospel of the water and the Spirit, through which one is saved by believing in Jesus, who went to the cross with the baptism received from John, to have the sins of the world transferred to him, and receive the punishment for sin. Acts chapter 3, verses 22 through 26. Fulfillment of Moses' prophecy. Jesus Christ, who became the end of the law. "For Moses truly said to the fathers, 'The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear in all things, whatever he says to you. And it shall be that every soul who will not hear, that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. Yes, and all the prophets, from Samuel, and those who follow, as many as have spoken, have also foretold these days. You are sons of the prophets, and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying to Abraham, "And in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed." To you first, God, having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you, in turning away every one of you from your iniquities. In Acts chapter 3, verses 22 through 26, Peter quotes Moses and says, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren." The core of this word of declaration is that the reality of the Savior, whom the law pointed to, was indeed Jesus Christ. If God's law revealed people's sins, the ministry of the baptism Jesus received from John reveals Jesus, who took upon himself the sins of this world. And the cross speaks of the fact that he took the punishment of sin to receive judgment for all those sins. And the resurrection testifies that he clearly showed God's righteousness. Conclusively, Acts chapter 3 says the fact that although humans could not enter into the holy temple by themselves, the gospel of the water and the Spirit became the fundamental solution that ended human sin and curse. Physical healing is not the purpose in itself, but a sign showing the truth of completed salvation, and repentance is a conversion of faith by believing in the word of the gospel of the water and the Spirit. Because the sins of the world were transferred to Jesus' body through the ministry of the baptism Jesus received from John, and the punishment of sin ended with the death on the cross, now the name of Jesus Christ becomes the power of the gospel of salvation that takes upon all sins of all humans and delivers them from the judgment of sin. A Sermon by Paul C. Jong. The word from Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 26, appears superficially as a surprising miracle story where a lame man stands up. But if we look at this from the perspective of the gospel of the water and the Spirit preached by Pastor Paul C. Jong, it shows that it becomes a scene manifesting the power of the gospel of the water and the Spirit that clearly testifies to what true salvation is before Israel, rather than the miracle itself. God showed that through this salvation event, he was desiring to give the blessing of solving the problem of sin, which is much more fundamental than physical disease. When Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, they saw a disabled man who could not walk from birth sitting in front of the beautiful gate of the temple. This man was a disabled person who stayed at the place closest to the temple, but could never enter inside the temple. Through this, God showed the spiritual state of a sinner under God's law and indicated that he saved this soul by the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The people of Israel stayed within the temple sacrificial system, but the word of God's law could not actually make perfect the sinner who would be destroyed due to his own sins. And sins of the world were remembered daily, and sacrifices were only repeated, but it could not bring true salvation to their hearts. The lame man in front of the temple gate was showing the image of our very selves, who were sinners unable to have the problem of our own sins solved under the law. When the begging man looked at Peter and John, expecting to receive something, Peter proclaimed, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he gained strength in his ankles and stood up. Peter wanted to deliver the ministry of Jesus Christ, who solved the problem of sin and death, which is most urgent to humans, rather than fulfilling a person's temporary expectation. They were disciples of Jesus, who wanted to make that person rise and obtain salvation by the power of Jesus Christ, who had the sins of the world transferred to him through the baptism Jesus received from John, was hung on the cross to receive the punishment for sin, and resurrected from death. What Peter had was not gold and silver, but the gospel of Jesus Christ, who had the sins of the world transferred to his body by receiving baptism from John, received the punishment of sin on the cross, and then resurrected from death. It is said that as the man stood up, walked, and leaped, and praised God, all the people saw him walking and praising God, and were filled with wonder and amazement. The important point here is that the purpose for which God allowed this miracle was not to tie people's eyes to a mysterious phenomenon, but that he used it as a door of evangelism to preach the word of the gospel of the water and the Spirit. The true miracle is the faith believing in the power of the word of the gospel of the water and the Spirit, and the blessing of obtaining the blotting out of sins obtained by faith. If only the miracle of healing the sick remains in our ministry, and the preaching of the gospel of the water and the Spirit accomplished by Jesus does not take place, such ministry becomes of no benefit before God. When the people were amazed and looked intently at Peter and John, they immediately deflected their gaze, saying, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why look so intently at us, as though by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk?" Apostle Peter knew that all this did not happen because of human ability or the office of an apostle, and testified immediately. Peter emphasized that God the Father raised up Jesus, whom you denied and killed, and testified that this Jesus was indeed Jesus Christ, who received baptism from John the Baptist, to have the sins of the world transferred, carried them on his own body, and received the punishment of sin on the cross. Peter urged the Jews, saying, "Repent therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." The repentance here also was not emotional remorse, but discarding the wrong understanding about the Messiah, and testifying that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, gave true salvation to the believers by receiving baptism from John, to have the sins of the world transferred to him, dying after receiving the punishment of sin on the cross, and resurrecting. The Jews, while waiting for their Messiah, did not know and could not believe the fact that Jesus, who actually came to this earth, became the true Savior by taking upon the sins of the world through the ministry of the baptism received from John, dying on the cross, and resurrecting, so even now they are not saved from their own sins. Because they did not know the true meaning of Jesus' baptism and the ministry of the cross, they are still waiting for the Messiah even now. Peter was desiring that they turn from the wrong view of salvation and experience. By faith, the blessing of salvation where the soul becomes new. Therefore, this gospel of the water and the Spirit is not a new doctrine that suddenly appeared in the world, but the fulfillment of God's redemptive plan, in which Jesus Christ, who came to this earth as already prophesied through Moses and all the prophets, took upon the sins of the world by receiving baptism from John the Baptist and completed that salvation through the cross and resurrection. The baptism Jesus received from John was to take upon our human sins, not a baptism received because he was humble. The cross was to receive the punishment of sin, and the resurrection from death is the completion of God's great plan. The last declaration, "To you first, God, having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you, in turning away every one of you from your iniquities," Acts chapter 3, verse 26, was an invitation of salvation to turn away and discard the wrong view of salvation before moral defects, and obtain salvation from all sins by believing in Jesus Christ's baptism and the ministry of the cross. Acts chapter 3 is telling us today that we must not be the disabled person staying only in front of the temple gate, but must actually believe with the heart the word of the gospel of the water and the Spirit given to us by the Lord and enter into Jesus Christ. We must know that while acts of the law and religion can keep a person sitting in front of the temple gate, the faith believing in the word of the gospel of the water and the Spirit completed by the baptism Jesus Christ received from John and the cross is saying to save all sinners from the curse of the law and receive true salvation through the gospel of the grace of the blotting out of sins. The word of the gospel of true salvation is the faith believing in the word of the gospel of the water and the Spirit through which a sinful soul can receive salvation from his own sins beyond physical healing. And he who believes this word of the gospel receives true salvation by believing in God's righteousness, becoming a man of faith who can praise the triune God and boldly go forward before God. Sermon on the Gospel of the Water and the Spirit that removed people's sins. Appearing in Acts chapter 3, verses 19 through 26. The passage from Acts chapter 3, verses 19 to 26, is one of the texts that most clearly explains how the ministry of Jesus Christ actually removed people's sins. Interpreting this passage from the perspective of the Gospel of the Water and the Spirit, preached by Pastor Paul C. Jong, the blotting out of sins proclaimed by Peter is not mere emotional comfort or an exhortation to repent, but a declaration to accept the reality of sin that was actually removed through the ministry of Jesus Christ in history. Peter cried out, "Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out." Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Here, repentance is not a demand to regret sins more deeply or reflect morally, but an evangelical call to thoroughly turn from the direction of religious faith to the direction of faith believing in the word of the gospel of the water and the Spirit. The Jews at that time kept the law and offered sacrifices while waiting for the Messiah, but they did not believe in Jesus Christ, whom God the Father sent, as their Messiah. Therefore, the word to turn away was God's command to depart from the wrong view of salvation based on the law and their own acts, and return into the gospel of the water and the Spirit already completed by God the Father through Jesus Christ. The important thing is the substantive issue. When, where, and how were people's sins eliminated? The Bible shows that all of man's sins are not wiped away by human acts of repentance or tears, but have already been resolved by the righteous ministry of Jesus Christ. Jesus received baptism from John the Baptist in the Jordan River in the land of Israel, thereby having the sins of the world transferred onto his body, and he took all the punishment of the sins of the world and the judgment of sin upon himself on the cross. Like this, because Jesus received baptism from John to transfer the sins of the world onto his body and took the judgment of sin on the cross, we become those who can receive true removal of sins by believing in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. In the Word, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Acts chapter 3, verse 19. The refreshing refers to the word of salvation that brings spiritual salvation beyond physical recovery or emotional goodness. The ministry of Jesus receiving baptism from John and the judgment of sin through the shedding of blood on the cross became the truth that brings true salvation to those who believe in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is the one who came to confirm in our hearts right now this fact, that is, the truth of salvation, that the sins of the world were ended by Jesus' ministry of righteousness. And it says that this could be confirmed within the work of the Holy Spirit. Peter also said, "Whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things." Acts chapter 3, verse 21, explaining the soteriological meaning of Jesus' ascension. This means that Jesus ascended to heaven because he perfectly finished the ministry of atonement. Jesus' resurrection and ascension itself was like God's public declaration that he had completely resolved the problem of mankind's sin. If one believes in Jesus as the Savior even now, but the problem of his sin remains even a little, he must be saved by believing that Jesus is the Lord who washed away all sins by receiving baptism from John to have the sins of the world transferred, and believing the fact that Jesus took all the judgment of sin for us by dying on the cross. It must be known that this gospel of the water and the Spirit did not appear suddenly, but existed from the time of the early church through Jesus Christ, the Savior promised from the Old Testament era, like the prophecy. For Moses truly said to the fathers, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren." Acts chapter 3, verse 22. If the sacrificial system of the Old Testament was a shadow that temporarily covered the sinner's sins, then if one believes that Jesus Christ is the Savior who removed the sins of the world once and for all by receiving baptism from John the Baptist, to have the sins of the world transferred onto his body and hanging on the cross with blood, one becomes a person who receives eternal removal of sins. This truth is what all the prophets from Samuel onward also testified to. They were waiting for the day this gospel of salvation would be preached, and were pointing to Jesus Christ, who became our Savior by having all of humanity's sins transferred through the ministry of baptism Jesus received from John, and by dying, shedding blood on the cross. Lastly, it is the Word, "To you first, God, having raised up His servant Jesus, sent Him to bless you, in turning away every one of you from your iniquities." Acts chapter 3, verse 26. One must know what the greatest blessing God gives is. That blessing is not material things, honor, or power, but the faith to obtain salvation from all our sins by believing in the word of the gospel of the water and the Spirit that saved humans from the sins of the world. That we turn away from wickedness refers to the faith of obtaining salvation by abandoning one's own righteousness, abandoning one's own unbelief as well, and returning to the gospel of salvation that Jesus accomplished on the cross by receiving baptism from John to have the sins of the world transferred. Ultimately, the word that Acts chapter 3, verses 19 through 26 testifies to is the faith that the sins of the world do not disappear by human will or effort, but that Jesus Christ saved us eternally by having the sins of the world transferred onto His body through the baptism He received from John, and receiving the judgment of sin through the blood shed by hanging on the cross for the punishment of all sins. The Holy Spirit testifies in the heart of the one who believes the word of the gospel of the water and the Spirit that is already completed, and says that the one who believes this truth of salvation has entered into the grace of standing before God as one who has already received the blotting out of sins. The truth of salvation is exactly the gospel of the water and the Spirit that the Apostle Peter preached, and it is also the gospel of the true truth of salvation that we must believe and preach today. Questions and answers from Acts chapter 3. Question 1. When we believe in Jesus, what does the faith of repenting, turning back, and receiving the removal of sins refer to? Reference: Acts chapter 3, verse 19. The repentance spoken of here refers to receiving salvation through the faith of abandoning our thoughts and believing that the Lord had the sins of the world transferred onto Him through the ministry of baptism He received from John and went to the cross to be nailed and shed blood for the punishment of sin. Repentance is not done with the mouth, but it speaks of the repentance of obtaining salvation by realizing one's wrong thoughts and accepting into the heart the word of the gospel of the water and the Spirit of salvation that the Lord gave us. For all of us to receive salvation from our own sins, we must believe that He became our Savior, not by us doing something to obtain salvation, but only by turning from our sins and our wrong thoughts and believing in the baptism the Lord received from John and the blood of the cross. It is the fact that we must not believe and rely on human theological doctrines, the assertions of each denomination, or experiences of one's own faith, other than the truth of the gospel of the water and the Spirit spoken of in the Bible's Word. We become those who can be saved through the faith, believing in the baptism the Lord received from John and the blood of the cross. For us to receive salvation from the sins of the world, we must believe according to the structure of faith. Believing in this structure where Jesus had the sins of the world transferred onto his body through the baptism he received from John, and then believing that he hung on the cross and took the judgment for our sins. Reference. If you want to know more about the Gospel of the Water and the Spirit, please refer to and read Paul C. Jong's book, Have You Truly Been Born Again of Water and the Spirit? New Revised Edition at bj.newlife.org.